Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, if you would, let's go to Mark chapter 12. I am going to start like some teachings on renewing the mind. And today, the title of the message is How Your Boundaries in Life Are Determined. How your boundaries in life are determined. And so there's going to be several teachings coming up on renewing the mind. They'll be different, but they'll be about the same subject. So, you know, I was thinking just a few minutes ago, this came to my mind. You know, I think it was in the early 1900s, like 1902, 3, 4, 5, right in that area, 6, 7, 8, that Congress decided or put forth the notion of shutting down the patent office of the U.S. because they said everything that's been invented has already been invented that could be invented. As you can see, they were just as big a thinkers back then as they are today. But how many know, since that time, we've seen a lot of things that have just been mind-boggling to me. You know, I still find the fact that you can watch TV on your watch, that doesn't still compete with me. But you know, someone said that was preaching here, they said, you know, the technology that sent us to the moon, that took buildings, you know, to house all that technology, now that technology is inside your little watch. I'm not talking about your Timex. I'm talking about your Apple Watch. Yeah. And so, such small-mindedness, you know. And yet, you know, we think, you know, I used to watch Star Trek. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Come on, anybody know? All right, there you go. There you go. Thank you, Ryan. If you don't know what that was, you didn't watch Star Trek. That was Mr. Spock's, you know, greeting, you know. What was that? What was he anyway? Was he a Klingon or something? Anyway. But anyway. He was a Vulcan. Okay. Klingons were the enemies. But anyway, you know, we'd watch this stuff on Star Trek and you think, man, that stuff will never happen. And, you know, hey, Captain Kirk had a cell phone back then. Remember? A flip phone. Remember that? He would just call Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. He already had a cell phone. They were thinking light years ahead of the rest of us, right? Because, you know, and so, you know, what I want to talk about this morning is how your boundaries are determined. You know what boundaries are, right? You know, your dimensions, you know. So you got boundaries at your home. You know what I'm saying? Your yard only extends so far. You can't just put the garage or the shed over on the neighbor's property and them not complain about it. Amen. You know, I've got trees in my yard, and some of them have grown pretty big now. I mean, you know, for as no longer they've been there. And they're hanging over the fence over on the neighbor's side. And I just told him, I said, hey, anything that's hanging over there, cut it off. If you want it cut off, cut it off. Because it's on your property. It's on your boundaries, you know. And so, you know, we have boundaries. And I want to talk about that this morning. But first, I want us to go to Mark chapter 12. Got it? All right. Verse 28, the Bible says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, our God is not a bunch of, we don't have a plethora of gods. You know, like the Egyptians had all kinds of gods, frog gods, lice gods. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just wouldn't want to serve it. You know, like sometimes there's a Chinese restaurant in the area, and outside they got a Buddha, and the guy sitting out there got a big pot belly and no shirt on, and I'm thinking, and that's your God. No offense, but my God doesn't look like that. Glory to God. Now, he says, so, you know, that the first commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord. We're supposed to love the Lord. With all of our heart or our spirit, with all of our soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, this is the first commandment. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul being your mind, your will, and your emotions. But then Jesus goes a little extra step and he pulls the mind out by itself. With all of your mind, so your soul's not just your mind, your will, your emotions are involved in there. And with all your strength, right? Your physical strength. This is the first commandment. Well, how do I love the Lord with my strength? Well, you use your body in service for Him, and you worship Him, even when you don't feel like it, right? And so, but the mind, what is the mind? Well, it's, you know, this word mind here is talking about the thought life, the thought you love God with your thoughts. In other words, during the day, you're thinking about the Lord. You're not just thinking about natural stuff all the time, but you think about the Lord. Malachi said that there was a book of remembrance written for those that thought on the Lord. God knows our thoughts, right? And so, let me know, if you love the Lord, you're going to think about the Lord. Amen. You know, you're married, if you're married, you know, when you first met, you thought about each other a lot. You in love, right? Amen. Phyllis and I met in the 80s, and, you know, we thought about one another. And, you know, the Lord gave her scripture. It's in Proverbs 37. What's this? Proverbs 37, 37. Now, listen to this. I want to tell you what God thinks about me. You didn't know this, but I'm going to tell you. Okay. Now, you have to read this out of the right version for it to get it right.
Yeah.
And that's the Authorized Version. How many know what the Authorized Version is? The King James Version of the Bible, baby. All right. The Authorized Version. Now, in the King James, it says, Mark the perfect man. That's what it says. Wow. Hallelujah. And so I just welcome that scripture as my own. Amen. But how many know, if you love the Lord, how many know you're going to think about the Lord, right? You're not just going to be thinking about natural stuff all the time. Now, you know, we have natural thinking we have to do, obviously. But the Lord's going to be on our mind, see? In other words, we're loving Him not just with our heart, but with our soul, our emotions. We get emotionally involved with God. Right? Just like this morning, people were getting emotionally involved with the Lord this morning during praise and worship. That pleases God. I said, that pleases God. Well, I'm just not an emotional person. Well, yeah, you are. I can tick you off in a heartbeat. Sure, you're emotional. So don't tell me you're not emotional. I can guarantee I can make you mad before the day's over. Guarantee it. Before you leave here, we can get you mad. So you have emotions. You're just not using your emotions towards God. That's what you're telling me. Everybody's emotional. Amen. Now, so with our thoughts, also our mind, we're thinking about God. God wants us to think about Him. Now, you know what? God cares about what we think about. And when you think about this, there's a life going on the inside of you all day long. You're living your natural life. You're going about. You go to the grocery store. You go to the gas station. You go to work. You know, you take care of your family, you cook meals, but all the time that's going on, you got your natural life that's going on the outside. There's a life going on the inside. Amen. And it's that life that's really going to determine what you have in life. Amen. See, all renewing of the mind is the process of beginning to think like Jesus thinks. Right? And let me know, unless your mind's renewed, He thinks a whole lot different than we do. Right? I mean, like somebody said one time, He thinks you want to live, you got to die. He thinks you want to increase, you got to give away. He thinks you want to go up, you got to go down. He just thinks different, totally different. And everybody else, well, why is that? Well, someone said that one time. I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. He thinks different. We're not even, unless we've spent time renewing our mind, we're not even remotely close to Him. He's the example. Amen. And so renewing the mind, one of the things it is you begin to think like Jesus thinks. It's the process of thinking like He thought or thinks. Now, I learned a long time ago, you know, when I was first young in the Lord, first became a Christian, first few years, I learned this. If I was going to walk in victory, and God wants me to walk in victory, He's provided victory for me. But if I was going to do it, I was going to have to, number one, stay full of the Holy Spirit. Because you just can't make it without His guidance. And see, Red Skelton said this. He said the number one reason for divorce is marriage. Well, yeah, that's kind of true, isn't it? You don't get married, don't get divorced, okay? But the number one reason people have a mess in their life is because they don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the only way to follow His leading is to stay close to Him so you can hear Him. Amen? See, if we don't stay close enough, you got to be close enough to hear somebody. See, if you're trying to talk to me and you're over there on Vogel Road, we're going to have a hard time communicating. You may be talking, but I'm not hearing what you're saying. Sometimes Phyllis will say things to me from the other side of the house. Well, I hear what she says, but I don't hear what she said. I know she said something. I just don't know what she said. Because she wasn't close enough for me to catch it. Well, if we're going to catch what the Holy Spirit's saying and how He's leading us, we've got to be close enough to catch it. Which means we have to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number two, the second thing I knew I was going to have to do if I was going to walk in victory in this life, the victory that Christ provided, I was going to have to keep my mind renewed with God's Word. Or I was going to have to think like God thinks and not like the world thinks. Because the world's always trying to conform you. You know, right now there's the one thing that really, can I say it this way, ticks me off about our government and about a lot of people in our society in America right now, is they're trying to brainwash everybody to think the way they think. And it's not going to happen. You understand? This isn't a get vaccinated or don't get vaccinated. I don't care what you do. I'm not against it. But I'll make up my own mind. You got that? You're not going to make it up for me. You can give me the information, no problem. I'll decide. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's just the way we are. We're good Texans. And that's just the way we are. Okay, we're not Texans. But you know what? Your boundaries, you're going to determine them, see? See, our states have boundaries, right? Our country's supposed to have boundaries. Now, why do we block off the Canadians, but we don't the illegal aliens? We told the Canadians, you can't come in here, COVID. But then we tell illegal aliens, just come over the fence, we'll give you benefits, you don't have to take the shot. I didn't vote for those people. Hallelujah. Boy, this is a good preaching this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what? Let's see. It's our boundaries. We have boundaries. Our state has boundaries. Kentucky stole part of our land. For years and years and years, I thought the Ohio River was the boundary. You know, like between Henderson and Evansville, you crossed that money-saving bridge. And once you get across the river, you're in Kentucky. No, Kentucky came in the middle of the night one time and took part of our land. Now, they own on the north side of the river now. I don't know when we're going to war with them, but to get our land back. But Kentucky took part of our Hoosier land. There's Kentuckians on our soil, all right? I better preach. I love Kentucky. We poke fun at one another, but I love Kentucky, and I do mean that. Kentucky's a great state, man. And I love how when you cross that money-saving bridge, they talk different immediately. And I'm thinking, with a good, some of the good arm could throw a baseball from where we're at to you, and you're changed. Amen. But I love that. I love Kentucky. Amen. So I don't like their basketball team, but I love Kentucky. Praise God. Now, all right, just want to make that plain. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs 23:7. I'm an Indiana Hoosier fan. And I always love it when they beat Kentucky. You know, their coach is so spineless. They were number one in the nation. I forget what year it was, but they were number one in the nation, and IU beat them on a last-second shot. Remember that? Yeah, Woodford, was it Woodford or whatever his name was?
Watford.
That took that shot. And after that, they said, we're not playing at Bloomington any longer. No. Well, stay home, you big baby. Hey, man, Minnesota, Ohio, we'll beat you there. All right. Praise God. I've got a pastor friend. He's such a rabid Kentucky fan. If he sees this, we're not friends any longer. Anyway, well, we're, you know, how many know we're just teasing, right? We're just having fun. Amen. Although there's just some truth to it. Amen. Proverbs 23. Go there. Praise God. Amen. This was going to be a series. I was going to put it on a CD, but now everybody from Kentucky will hate me. So, and I do love Kentucky. Amen. Glory, my old Kentucky home. Now, Psalm, or Proverbs 23, you there?
Yes.
Listen to this first part. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. Now, notice this. This is really revealing. As he thinks. Now, notice, it doesn't say his mind, although, and there's a reason here. It says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Why? Because if you think something long enough in your mind, it gets into your heart. Yeah. And it becomes a part of your life. Yeah. So, you know, we all have fleeting thoughts. Thoughts that come all day long that you know, the world's just geared to try to grab your attention. That's how they make money. They got to get your attention and get you sold on a product. So we have all kinds of thoughts. Some are good thoughts. Some are not good thoughts. Some we don't want. Is that the truth? So we have these thoughts, but it's the thoughts that we think in private that we really believe, those get down in our heart. And they begin to control our life. See, that's what sets your boundaries in life. As you think, so are you. What are we saying? Well, you can only go as far as what your thought life lets you go. You have to, sometimes you have to begin to enlarge your thinking. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 54, where God said, stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Basically, pick up your tent pegs and stretch them out. For you shall break, I like the way the King James says, it says, you shall break forth on the right hand. You will break forth on the left hand. What was God saying? You got to enlarge your thinking. Now, I've told this before, but it is true. Years ago, Phyllis and I used to go looking at houses, you know, and we just, you know, we just go into these new homes and stuff and look at them. And actually, when we first were married back years and years ago, whatever it was, years and years ago. How long have you guys been married? Years and years. But there was a builder in our city where we lived at the time, and he built houses. He still builds houses. And he would leave the doors unlocked. You could do that in those days. And we would go in and look at the houses, you know. And I remember, you know, I'm just a country boy, you know, come from the country. I mean, where I grew up, you know what I'm saying? There wasn't anybody else on the road. We lived in a subdivision. We were it. There was only one house in the division. We lived on a rock road. Nobody else is on the road. And so, you know, that's the way I grew up. That's the way I lived. And it was a good life. But, you know, you begin seeing these new homes and all the nice stuff in them. And so, and I think, we'd go in there, and I'm a faith guy. I'm supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. But I got to admit to you, I'd walk in those houses, and I think, there is absolutely no way I can see me owning one of these. You know, we just didn't think. My thinking had to be enlarged. And, of course, it's not about money. It's not about houses. But, you know, if you think small, naturally, you'll end up thinking small spiritually. Yeah. See, you begin to limit yourself. And I think there's no way I can ever have one of these houses. And we go through these parade of home houses, you know, and we see the parade of home, and I think, man, no way I'd ever have one of these, you know. I had to renew my mind because, listen, it's not about it's not about how nice a house you live in. Is it? I mean, if you're happy with the cabin on the river, great. Some people love it that way. So it's not about that, but it's about don't let the world or the devil put limiters on you. Don't let life do that to you. Because our God's big. And I just think there's no way, you know, I'll just lease these houses, rent houses, and, you know, and all. I mean, we owned houses, but not the new ones, you know. And so, you know, I'd go to the parade of homes, think, man, I'd never have one of these. Well, I bought one of those since then. One of the parade of homes. Built new houses. I bought new houses. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, but what changed it one day, God had to step in. I'm renting a house off a guy. He's a builder in our area. He built nice homes. He owned this house, and it's not a bad house. It's a small house, but it's not a bad house. And I'm renting it, and I've rented it for a year, 2 years, whatever it was, you know. And one day he talks to me, he says, "Why don't you buy a new home off of me?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I couldn't do that." And he begins to challenge me on that, and then some other Christians begin to challenge me on that. When I talk to them about it. And I thought, you know what? My mind needs to be renewed here. I need to enlarge my thinking a little bit. Because what if God would want to get that to me? Well, I just don't make that kind of money. We're not talking about what kind of money you make. We're talking about what kind of God you serve. Come on, somebody help me preach this. We're talking about how big your God is. And it isn't about natural things. But the thing of it is, don't let the devil stop you in natural things. The book of Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 23, 28, maybe it is. It says, "Don't remove the ancient landmarks that your fathers have set." Don't remove those landmarks, those boundaries. Now, I want to talk about some spiritual things, okay? Now, to me, spiritually, that tells me let's don't go smaller than our fathers in the faith went. Amen. They believed for certain things, and in my opinion, the church has gone smaller. We've removed those boundaries. Now, here's the thing. You probably don't need this, but maybe somebody will. One of the things that I see that's happening, that's been happening in the last decade in the church, that's really frightening to me, is this. Is we're not only removing the boundaries that our fathers set spiritually, but we're kicking the fathers out. Now, when I came up spiritually, we looked to those that were older than us. We fed off the older ministers. You listening now? That's not to say that younger preachers don't have anything to say. That's not what I'm saying, because I was a younger preacher. I was 21 years old. And I had something to say, you know. And so, but yet, I wasn't father in the faith. I wasn't the one that set the boundary. Those had been set by men that had gone before us. Men like Brother Hagin. Right? Men like R.W. Schombach. Men like Oral Roberts, Billy Graham. Amen. They were giants in the faith. Now today, what I see happening in the church is these young preachers are kicking them out and saying they're outdated and old. We don't need them any longer. I don't know whether you know this or not, but see, I've tried to tell one of these young guys that one time, he's like, "I want to have a young church. Well, that's fine. If God really called you to do that, that would be one thing, right? That'd be one thing. Yeah, you should do that. But don't just do that because that's the fad, because here's the thing. They don't have any money. That's what I told him. So who's going to pay for your church? The old people have the money. You're just dumb. Now, him, old people was me. Well, you laughed about old people were you too, buddy. See, you know. So we don't kick the old folks out. We don't get rid of the old preachers because they don't wear the tight, skinny jeans. We learn from them. They set the boundaries. Are you with me now? I'm telling you what's going to happen. The church is going to lose the move of God if we follow some of these young preachers. Well, they have big crowds. Wait a minute. Have you ever been in their services? They have big crowds because they have good donuts. Parlor has big crowds. I came here one day, Parlor, just for this. Those that don't know, it's a donut place by our church. Don't act like you don't know about it. I don't know what you're talking about. No, yeah, you do. I came to church one day. And there was traffic down this street, over in the parking lot across the street going. And I thought, well, there's been a wreck or something. And I think it might have been Miss Jackie maybe told me, oh, no, Pastor, that's the donut place. They're that way. See. So donuts draw crowds. Good ones do. By the way, those are good ones. But I'll just say this to you. See, it's not about that. Listen, see, have you ever been to some of these services? There's, look, the presence you felt today, you won't feel that there. There'll be a lot of excitement, a lot of lights, a lot of smoke, a lot of mirrors, but you won't feel that. I want that. All the other stuff is, you know, if you want it, fine, but let's don't remove the boundaries that our fathers in the faith have set. The power of God, the glory of God. Amen? Are you saying that none of them? I didn't say none of them did, but I'm just simply saying we've got to make sure that we don't just, if you're kicking your father's, spiritual fathers out, the older ones out, I guarantee you're going to lose something. Because it's amazing. Mark Twain said this. He said, when I was 14, he said, my old man was the stupidest man on the earth. He said, when I turned 21, he said, it was amazing how much he had learned in 7 years. What happened? Well, he grew up. See, I used to go to Grandma's house, and I think, doesn't Grandma know that stripes and plaid doesn't go together? Doesn't she know this? And now I realize why she did it. Those were the comfy clothes. Who cares? Right? So, you know, I realized I was growing up when Mom and Dad started to make sense. And I really realized I was getting mature when Grandma started making sense. I thought, I understand why she did what she did. That's the way I'd do it now. Amen. Now, in this scripture in Proverbs, it talks about this, that as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. See, this is something, if you get this, this will change your life. Thoughts, words, and deeds control your life. If you think right, you're going to do right. Amen? You're going to talk right if you think right. So to me, if you get the thought life, it's going to flow, overflow into the other areas of life. There's no other way you can commit sin but thought, word, and deed. There's no other way you can do righteousness but thought, word, and deed. It's not your environment. It's not your lot in life. Thank God if you were born in a good environment. But that's not it. People that were born in bad environments come out of that. Now, if one can come out, everybody can. But their thought life has to change. They have to think, first of all, that I am, now not in an arrogant sense, but that I'm worthy of more than this because I'm in the image of God. You know, some people think, well, I don't deserve any more than this, you know. Well, wait a minute. You deserve everything God promised to give you. But see, our thoughts control. See, Isaiah said it this way. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. That's what God said. See, thoughts become ways. You keep thinking something long enough, and that's the way you do it. You know, we've all heard. I heard it just the other day. How many ever heard the story about the ham? Have you ever heard that story? About the baking of the ham where the lady would cut the ends off of it? Well, I ain't going to tell it then if you ever heard it. You really want me to tell it? This young lady would cut the ends off the ham and, you know, put it in the pan and bake it. Her husband asked her, said, why did you cut the ends off the ham? She said, or the end, I cut the end off the ham. And she said, well, that's just the way you do it. Well, why? I don't know. That's just the way you do it. You know, go in there and watch football. So she thought, I wonder why I do that. So she called her mom. She said, Mom, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you bake it? She said, that's just the way you do it, honey. Well, why? That's just the way you do it. Well, there's got to be. Well, I don't know. That's the way my mom did it. Just call Grandma and see. So she called Grandma and said, Grandma, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you cook it? She said, that's easy. It wouldn't fit in my pan.
Right.
You don't have to do that. But if you get somebody trained, you get their thought life trained, they just automatically do dumb things. Right? See, the Romans said this. It says, if we reject the knowledge of God, we get what's called a reprobate mind. Now, what's a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is a mind that's void of all judgment or is lacking in judgment. See, what has happened? See, you and I, you know, we love God. We have neighbors and family members that maybe aren't saved, but yet they still have some knowledge about God. They still have some reverence for God. They may not be saved. But yet they haven't rejected the knowledge of God. See, Paul talked about suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. And then he talked about, you know, they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge in Romans 1, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind. Well, what's happened is a lot of our political leaders have reprobate minds right now because they kick God out. They don't want the knowledge of God. It's amazing how it's accelerated. You know, you go back to President, let me back up a few presidents here. Let me think, trying to think back. You go back to, let's go back to the 60s. Let's go back to JFK. And then, you know, you go back to LBJ. And then you go back to Ford. And then you go back to Carter. And then you go to Ronald Reagan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then, you know, you go to the first Bush. And then you go to, you know, Bill Clinton, you know, boys just want to have fun. Then you go to the next Bush, right? And then you go to Barack Obama. And then you go to Trump. And then you go to Biden. You go back and you look at a lot of the presidents I've just named. Let's back up. Let's back up a few. Let's back up. Let's see. Biden's in office, Trump, and then before Trump was Obama. Let's go back to Clinton. All right, let's go back there and from back on. Did you know what? All those presidents had something in common. You know what they had in common?
Well, they were president.
No, they had something in common. They all saw Billy Graham as a spiritual advisor.
Yeah.
Whether they took his advice or not, which Bill needed a little bit more church. I don't know if we're going to survive this message or not, but anyway. But see, my point, what's the point I'm making? Can you imagine, now listen to me, can you imagine our present administration inviting Billy Graham to speak? No, they've kicked God out. Now, you may not like this, but it's just the truth. Well, you probably like it, but some people may not like it. And people may not like it, but it's just the truth. Well, they've said, we reject the knowledge of God. We don't want to know about God. We don't want the knowledge of God. We don't want you telling us about right and wrong. We don't want you telling us about God. We got a plethora of gods. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And guess what happened? Their minds have become reprobate. And they make decisions that you and I look at and we think, how in the world could you be that stupid?
Right.
How could you be that dumb?
Right.
But they are because their minds are reprobate.
Yeah.
They're void of judgment. How could protecting babies in the womb, now they're calling it racism? Yeah, we're trying to protect the human race. How could now, you know, now it's not just a different opinion, we're evil. It's called reprobate. See, God, you know, people have always done wrong things. Let me know that. You know, and God has helped some of our leaders that they weren't necessarily the most ethical people in the world. But yeah, here's the thing. When I was growing up, when we did wrong, we knew it was wrong. We knew the difference between right and wrong. We did not call evil good and good evil. Today, they call good evil, evil good. And here's what God said, woe to those that do that. Right? God knows sinners are going to sin, right? And some of our great leaders, you know, in the past, in our country, they haven't been the most moral people on the planet. But yet they had some reverence and knowledge of God. They didn't kick the knowledge of God out. They might not have lived by it, but they didn't kick it out. Now we got them kicking it out. We don't even want it. And God said, when you do that, I turn you over to a reprobate mind. You don't have a mind. You don't have enough brains to make any good judgment. Come on. Well, this is really political today. It's about renewing the mind, but... But I just want you to see, if we don't retain God in our knowledge, we have problems. Amen? Right. Come on, are you still with me? Give me just a few more minutes here. I want to go to one last scripture. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. Maybe we'll find something that'll make you shout out of here. All right, Mark chapter 5. Amen. Amen. I've often said, look, we've got people rejoicing because our Congress wants to spend $3.5 trillion, and we're 20-some trillion dollars in debt. Does that make any kind of sense?
Nope.
We're just helping poor people. No, we're not. We're just throwing money away and trying to make people dependent on us. That's not what we're doing. I got a stimulus check. Or I've just put in my bank or whatever, credit card. You know, because of COVID. I got a how many got a stimulus check? How many are glad you got it? See, you don't know what to say, yes or no. I'm glad I got it. Praise God. It was mine to start with. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's right.
But I didn't need it.
Right. Come on.
They're helping poor people. I'm not poor. Come on. Are you listening to me? There ain't no way helping poor people.
Come on.
They're just trying to get people dependent on them. Look to me as your source. Then you'll vote for me.
Yeah.
It may be some, hey, it may be some dumb people in the earth, but I'm not one of them. How about you?
That's right.
Amen. I mean, Dustin's one of the top three smartest guys in Southern Indiana. He didn't fall for it. At least that's what he told me. Pastor Jerry said he got it from him. He's number two. Case number one. Man. How many are following what I'm saying? I hope I'm not getting too political for you this morning. But the point is, it's just all this, what are you thinking? Your boundaries. You know, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I don't need a government.
No. Come on.
Now, I'll take anything they want to give away because they're going to give it away anyway.
That's right.
So I might as well take it.
Yeah. Yes. Come on now.
But it's just stupid.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. You can't say stupid. I'm sorry. It's just ignorant. What was it, John George? I-G-N-E-R-T, ignorant. Amen. Mark 5, you there?
Yeah.
Look at verse 15. I like this. This is the madman of Gadara, the guy that wore no clothes. He lived in the tombs. He cut himself. They put chains on him, fetters. He broke them. He, you know, always night and day, he was crying out. Nobody could tame him. And in verse 15, Jesus, you know, Jesus came along. And in verse 15 says, they came to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil or demon possessed and the legion sitting and clothed. Now notice this phrase. This is important. And in his right mind. And they were afraid. I'm thought we must have a lot of demon possessed people in Congress because they're afraid of people that are in their right mind.
Amen.
Seriously. Demon possessed people are afraid of people that are in their right mind. And today, if you say something that's really right-minded, they're all afraid of you. Like, you need the devil cast out of you is what you need. Now, but what I wanted you to see, this guy, I mean, you probably have never met anybody as messed up as this guy. Probably never. Well, what was his problem? His mind wasn't right.
Come on now.
The devil got a hold of his mind. And when the devil got a hold of his mind, he got a hold of the rest of his life, see? See, your life won't get straightened out until your mind does. This guy's life didn't get straightened out until his mind got straightened. He got delivered, he got his mind straightened out. Now he wants to follow Jesus, see? And so we have to understand, it's our mind that needs straightened out. We had a guy, be discreet about this, but we had a guy that years ago that was in our church. I liked the guy. The guy liked me. He treated me really nice, and he always wanted to do stuff for me. I liked him. He just had his problem. He's just in trouble all the time. I mean, just something all the time. I'm having to deal with him, you know. And, but, you know, you can't do that. You can't do this. Stop doing that. None of it was towards me, you know, and he wasn't causing, like, strife in the church, but he was just doing things that Christians aren't supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm his pastor, so, you know, I mean, I would kind of, you can't do those kind of things. You can't do that. And I finally, you know, got really frustrated. You know, I thought, you know, I'm, you know, how many, you know, even someone as holy as I am can get frustrated at times. And I was like, you know, I'm just about ready to just, you know, bury this guy in the back of the church and tell God he hasn't been here for a while. You might want to go looking. So my patience was really getting really thin. And then somebody told me, they said, "Oh, I know him. I know his background." And so, and they told me, as a child, he was abandoned. I mean, his mother dropped him off and just left. I thought, well, that could mess you up. The devil could get a hold of your mind and tell you nobody likes you, nobody wants you. And I think that's what had happened in his life. It's like, I'm not fit, I'm not like him, I'm not worthy like him. And that's not an excuse for doing dumb things. But I'm just saying, I did see there was a root cause there, you know, besides trying to keep me employed. You know, some of you didn't get that. It's just my job's secure as long as this guy's around. I'm definitely going to have some training to do. But when I got a hold of that, when I found that out, Phyllis found it out, all of a sudden compassion welled up inside of us. And all of a sudden I thought, well, I can put up with him a little bit longer. Because he didn't have what I had. He didn't have a good home. He didn't have loving parents. He didn't have a lot. And some way or another, this madman of Gadara, some way or another, the devil got a hold of his mind. And when he got a hold of his mind, he got a hold of his life. And when he got a hold of his life, he just started to destroy his life. Amen. You have to, you got to understand, you've got to think God's thoughts. Amen. Where do you get God's thoughts? Well, how many know this book is full of God's thoughts? I mean, God gave us this. That scripture in Isaiah, which I'm not going to read, I'm going to close right now, but that scripture in Isaiah 55, it says, "For my thoughts are not..." First, God said to the wicked, he said, "Forsake your thoughts. Forsake yours. Yours aren't any good. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways." Now, God could have stopped right there and said, "Take that. I think higher than you do. I live better than you do." But no, what he did, he said, he sent his word. He gave us his word so we could think his thoughts. Hallelujah. And in Isaiah, he said, "For as the rain that comes down from heaven and the snow, and it doesn't return there again, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be. It goes forth out of my mouth. You'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees shall clap their hands." That sounds like a blessed life. I mean, when you walk out the front door and the mountains start singing, "Hallelujah, they're up!" And the trees start going, "Glory to God, how you doing?" Listen to what God said. He went on to say, instead of the thorn shall come up the myrtle tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the cypress tree. How many know the thorn and the briar is what? It's the curse. So God was saying, instead of the curse will come up the blessing in your life. And it's my word that's going to do it.
Amen.
God gave us his word so we could think his thoughts. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So we could think his thoughts and have a blessed life instead of a cursed life. I mean, you know, growing up, you know, I mean, as a kid, you know, I didn't know God. When I got saved, I'm going to tell you why I got saved. I got saved because God was dealing with me. But I got saved. Listen now. I got saved because, I thought the rapture was going to take place. I didn't think we'd make it through the 70s without the rapture taking place. And I didn't think we'd make it through the 80s. And I didn't think we could make it through the 90s. Now I don't think we'll make it through the 2020s. The rapture's going to happen. How many know that? It's going to happen. How do you know it's going to happen? Because the Lord told me over almost 50 years ago it was going to happen. 1972, he appeared to me in a vision. 1972, he appeared to me in a vision. And he said this to me. He said, this is the first vision I had. And I don't know how many I've had since then, not many. But he appeared to me in a vision. And he said, I'm coming back soon. That was the end of the vision. He disappeared. But his voice was as the sound of many waters. And I realized, you know, he's coming back soon. Well, I didn't think we'd make it through the 70s or the 80s and all that. But here we are. But how many know? I mean, here we are now. What, 72? How many years ago? That's 50. Is that 50 years? 49 years? Okay, now next year will be 50 years ago. That was. How many know? He's still coming back soon.
Yes.
Glory to God. But God gave us his word. So we could think his thoughts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You want to think his thoughts? Read his book.
Amen.
This hit me. Final closing. This hit me. One day I thought, wait a minute. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I was thinking one day, I think, wait a minute. The Bible is a compilation of God's thoughts. I can read the Bible and think a thought God has already thought. That was just amazing to me. I thought, I can think a thought God thought. I've had a lot of thoughts. I'm sure God didn't think some of them. Amen. Have you? And so I thought, wow, what an awesome thing to know. God gave me this book so I can think his thoughts. Every day I can open up this. Lord, what do you think about this? How many know it's right here? What do you think about it? It's right there. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.